I trust that you have been reading the book of Ephesians through as often as possible, for again I declare to you, the more you read it, the more you'll get out of it, the sweeter the honey will be to your heart and to your life, especially to those of you who have put your trust in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And we are dealing this morning again with Ephesians, the second chapter, and I would like to reread those first four verses, if I may, again. And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh, or the spirit that now energizes, the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. As we said in our last lesson on Ephesians, we're in the second chapter, which deals with the great doctrine of reconciliation. And before he takes it up, he takes up what we were in time past. And whenever I read these verses, I always have to say, thank God, times past are times past. What were we in times past? Before we accepted the Savior, the first verse says that we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were speaking of this in our last lesson, and I needn't spend time except to mention the fact that everyone who is not in Christ Jesus, that is, those of you who have not taken Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, God sees you as being dead in trespasses and sins. That is, you have no spiritual life. You can be moral, you can be religious, but you have no spiritual life until one is in relationship with the living God through faith in Jesus Christ, his Son. There can be no spiritual life. I know that someone is going to say, well, Mr. Mitchell, that's a pretty narrow view. Well, my friend, I'm talking from what the Bible says. Jesus Christ himself said, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life. And do you know more about this than Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Certainly not. Hence, I would suggest to you to get into your Bible and see what God has to say. And Paul here writes, you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, without life, without hope, without God. Now in verse 3, we have the second thing of what we were. We were children of wrath, even as others. Children of wrath like the rest. That is, by nature, we were born in sin, born under judgment. We were born into a rebellious race. There's no question about this. My friends, you and I were born into a race that's already under the judgment of God. You remember the psalmist says in the 51st Psalm about the 5th verse, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. You do not have to take your child and teach your child to lie or to steal or to do something bad. It's right there in the child, born with a sinful nature. And Paul here says, in time past we were children of wrath like everybody else. Now, it might be well for me to say a word of caution here. There are some people who look upon every person who is not a Christian as a child of the devil. Now, I'm not prepared to say that. I know Jesus said to the Jews of his day, and I quote again from John chapter 8. You remember they had said that God was their Father. Jesus said, if God were your Father, you'd believe on me. But you are of your father the devil, and his works you do, and he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. In the epistle of John chapter 3, we read there, somewhere around verses 6, 7, and 8, we find that he that is, in this is manifested the children of God and the children of the devil. And he talks about Cain and Abel as an illustration of the children of God and the children of the devil. But I notice this, that the ones who are called that are those who have taken a definite stand against the Savior. For example, in the book of Acts chapter 13, you have the Apostle Paul faced with a man who was a sorcerer, and this sorcerer opposed the gospel. He deliberately tried to keep the leader of that country from hearing the word of God through the Apostle Paul, and Paul pronounced judgment upon him, that he'd be blind for a season, and he called him our child of the devil. What I'm saying is this, I don't think that we should be so quick to call a person a child of the devil. This word is generally coupled with those who have taken a decided stand against the Savior. On the other hand, everyone out of Christ is a child of wrath. That is, he's born under the judgment and wrath of God. We're born into a rebellious race, a race where the thoughts and the imagination of the heart of man was evil continually. We belong to a human family where death reigns and where sin is rampant. And may I say very bluntly, my friend, that when the word of God is spurned, then sin becomes more and more manifest in that person, or in that family, or in that nation. You take here in America, when we officially, as a government through the Supreme Court, ruled the Bibles out of our schools, we were ruling the Bible really from our children. And the result was, when that was done officially, the dam broke. And if you go back to the time when that was done and follow the past few years of how quickly immorality and corruption and rebellion is coming to the front. You rule the Bible out of a life and you rule in lawlessness. And when a person has heard the truth of God and has voluntarily, determinedly rejected the Savior, then they reveal themselves not only as children of wrath, but children of the devil. But all of us were children of wrath, like everybody else, because we were born into a rebellious family, born under the wrath of God. The psalmist could say, God looked over the children of men, and they were all gone out of the way, all unprofitable, none doing good. And yet when a heart hears the gospel of Christ and sets their mind and their face against the Savior, this is a positive act of rebellion. And such an one in the Scriptures call a child of the devil. This is one reason, and excuse me taking so much time on this, but I'd like to ask you Christians to be very slow to call anybody a child of the devil. Now, I say this because in the study of Scripture, I noted that when anyone was called a child of the devil, the context would reveal to us the fact it was someone who had definitely and obstinately and willfully rejected the Savior or spurned the things of God. So the two things we've had thus far already are, in time past, we were dead in sins, and secondly, we were children of wrath. Now the third thing that we had in time past is verses 11 to 13. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, that is, you had no part in the commonwealth of Israel, you were strangers from the covenants of promise, you had no promises, you had no hope, you had no Savior, you were without God in the world. In verse 13 says, you were afar off. Now, just briefly, this is what we were in time past. Dead in trespasses and sins, children of wrath like the rest, and we hadn't a thing. Absolutely bankrupt. We had no inheritance. We had no covenants. We had no hope. We had no Savior. We had no God. That is, no God who was alive. We had gods that were no gods. Eyes that saw not and ears that heard not. and we were afar off, dead in sins. My friend, may I say, when God looked upon the rebellious people upon the earth, his heart melted with compassion. He provided a Savior. And the Lord Jesus came, not to save the righteous, not to save good people. He came to save sinners. He came to save rebels. He came to save children of wrath. He came to translate us from the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of his blessed Son. My friend, may I say this to you this morning? It may be I'm talking to some this morning who have never... Oh, I know you've heard the gospel, you've been raised in church, and maybe you're a church member. But the reality of being a child of God, the reality of being in the kingdom of God, it's never gripped your heart. May I plead with you this morning to examine yourself? Have you personally, definitely received Jesus Christ into your own life, into your own heart, as your Savior, as your Lord? And I'm not asking you if you've joined a church. I'm not asking you if you've gone through some ceremony. I'm asking you about a relationship between you and the Savior. And until you are in relationship to him, my friend, then you're still dead in trespasses and sins. It's just that clear, just that simple. And the Lord wants you. He wants to give you life. He wants to transform you from a child of wrath into a child of God. So I would plead with you, think about this today, will you? And to you who are Christians, will you not rejoice with me in the fact that we are no longer children of wrath? That we can say, thank God, times past, our times past. And that you can revel in one who's your Savior. And that you can say, thank God, I'm no longer a child of wrath. I'm a child of one who is God. I belong to him. I belong to him. May the Lord take these few words and make them to live in your heart and in your mind. And again, I plead with you to read that second chapter through as we go again toward it tomorrow morning to see some other things that concern time past. And the Lord bless you for his name's sake.